stay connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Monday, December 22nd. The city of San Diego has some tough budget choices to make in the new year. More on that next, but first, the headlines. A housing developer is looking to turn a recently purchased office tower in downtown San Diego into affordable residential units. The Union Tribune is reporting that Vintage Housing will submit plans this week to the city of San Diego to turn the tower into 200 residential units for low and very low income households. The newspaper also reports that the tower at 707 Broadway is Vintage Housing's first project in San Diego and also the first time it's converting office space into residential units. If you're someone who loves dining outdoors, then Solana Beach might just be your spot. The Coast News Group says the city has been using temporary use permits for outdoor dining since 2020. Just this month, the city council approved the first reading of Solana Beach's new permanent outdoor dining ordinance. It lists rules like maintaining 4 feet of sidewalk space and others like requiring businesses to submit their cleaning plans and schedules for the outdoor areas. The new rules will go into effect in the new year if the council approves a second reading of the ordinance. County public health officials are urging residents to not forage for or eat any wild mushrooms. They say doing so could possibly expose you to a dangerous toxin called amatoxin. With anticipated rainfall over the next few weeks, damp weather makes for the ideal conditions for mushroom growth. Late last week, county health officials recommended removing any wild mushrooms from your yard or gardens so kids don't touch or play with them and pets don't eat them. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a teen-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.
The city of San Diego is entering the new year with a budget deficit. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen says weak revenue and overspending could force some tough decisions in 2026.
San Diego's police and fire rescue departments are on track to exceed their overtime budgets. A drop in international tourism is contributing to less revenue from hotel taxes. And the city council has delayed the start of parking fees in Balboa Park. Those factors and more are leading city officials to project a deficit of nearly $23 million. Independent budget analyst Charles Modica recently told the council budget cuts in the new year will be unavoidable.
As it is today, the city's existing resources are insufficient to allow it to provide the services that it currently does, and we believe that that should be acknowledged.
The deficit projections are based on financial data from July through September, leaving room for the budget picture to get better or worse. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
A KPBS analysis found a big swing at the ballot box in Imperial County between the last two elections. Public Matters reporter Jake Gatta says Democrats made up significant ground in November compared to last year's presidential election.
Imperial County voters chose Donald Trump over Kamala Harris in 2024. It was the first time the county voted for a Republican for president since 1988. But just 1 year later, the county voted overwhelmingly in favor of Prop 50, which was seen as a referendum on the Trump administration. Trump won Imperial County by 1 percentage point, but Yes on Prop 50 won by 19 points. That swing was the largest difference of any county in the state. Adam Eakins is a political science professor at Imperial Valley College.
People seem to believe Trump when he said that, he could fix the economy, that Biden had let in millions of immigrants and screwed everything up, and that it was going to be easy to fix.
He said those promises Trump made are now falling flat. But Brian Vega, the new chair of the Imperial County Democratic Party, said his organization's outreach made a big difference as well.
We have left the party identity up for interpretation. So what we have to do now is kind of go out there and mend a lot of the relationships. And we are the working party. We are the people's party.
The California GOP and Republican Party of Imperial County did not respond to requests for comment. Jake Gatta, KPBS News.
San Diego is one of the final three cities bidding to host the 2029 Invictus Games. The international adaptive sports event features disabled veterans from 24 countries. Military and veterans reporter Andrew Dyer spoke with local organizers.
The Invictus Games Foundation this month cut six finalists from around the globe to three: San Diego, Aalborg in Denmark, and Daejeon in South Korea. Now the competition really heats up.
It's a waiting game, but we're all really, really excited.
San Diego Navy veteran Giselle Rama competed with Team USA at this year's games in Vancouver. She says hosting the games here would be huge for veterans like her.
Our communities need Invictus. They need just the power and the secret sauce of what these games bring. And it brings a lot of healing to people.
Andy Soler is the co-chair of San Diego's bid committee. He says he likes the city's chances.
I think if you live in San Diego, you can't help but be connected in some way with the military.
The selection committee will visit San Diego this spring, and in July, they'll announce which city will host the 2029 games. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
All right, SDNN listeners, today is yet another episode of The Pod Behind the Package. Once per week, I'll bring in a reporter, anchor, or a video journalist for a behind-the-scenes deep dive and informal chat. Joining me this week on his story on our site, under the headline San Diego Botanic Garden Lights Up the Night with Lightscape, is reporter and anchor John Carroll. How you doing, John?
Hey, Lawrence. Good. How are you?
Good, good. I'm excited to talk to you. I want to thank you so much for making time for this. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
Good to have you with us on SDNN. In this series, I like to get to know our reporters just a bit better. I'm wondering, did your passion for news reporting first begin during your internship at Channel 5 in Chicago? Did it happen before then? Take us back to when you first, fell in love with journalism and storytelling.
Well, thanks for reminding me that I told you about that internship at Channel 5 in Chicago back in the 1970s. I would say that's pretty much when it began. I developed a love for television news and then later radio, news and otherwise. And then it just progressed over the many decades since.
Yeah, and in those many decades, amongst your time and travels in the media industry, how have you seen storytelling change, John? And I guess in some ways, how have you seen it also stay very much the same?
Well, I think the essence of a good story doesn't really change. Usually, you're talking about a beginning, a middle, and an end. And what I mean more specifically by that is a story arc. The modus operandi and how we gather them and put them together has changed hugely. When I started in television, we were on what was called 3/4-inch tape, which was a big deal back then. And then, we moved beyond that to beta. And back then, the field cameras, the poor photographers, they were just trucks on their shoulders, huge, and they'd have a deck on another shoulder.
Transitioning now to your piece, which is part of the larger Museum a Month series, another thing that makes San Diego so lovable are its museums. Did you launch this series, John, so you could visit them all?
I would have to cop to that being at least a little part of it. The way this was hatched was I had been doing for the last several years a story every February because the San Diego Museum Council sponsors half off a month during February. You get these little cards and you go wherever you want. And Bob Lehman, who was the executive director of the Museum Council, he's now the, I think he's executive director, he's the chief of San Diego Art Matters. He and I were talking one day about the upcoming story for February about the, yeah. And, you know, I thought, God, there's so many museums around this region. I think there's like in the 80-ish range around all of San Diego County. So that's museums, cultural institutions, aquariums, stuff like that. And I thought, you know, especially with KPBS and our audience and knowing, you know, generally speaking, what they like, and I'm right there with them, I thought, God, we've got to do more. We have to. There's so many museums. And so I suggested to him one night, I said, hey, how about if we do like something every month? And so that's how it started. The first one happened in October with the Barona Cultural Center and Museum. And then we had the San Diego Model Railroad Museum. But yes, the most recent one that it aired was the Botanic Garden.
Absolutely. And that's the one we're here to embody and break down just a little bit more. John, your storytelling does a great job of incorporating actual history and statistics into it. One person might simply say San Diego is beautiful. But the statistic, as learned in your story, is that San Diego is the most plant biodiverse county in the United States. Can you talk to me about some of the things maybe you learned while walking away from covering the piece with the Botanic Gardens? Any facts that you didn't even know as someone who's been native to the area learned by going?
I didn't know anything.
Most of it.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's up in Encinitas, so I live down in the metro, and it's a drive. But I can tell you after being there, it's a drive definitely worth making, especially through, I think it's January 4th that Lightscape goes through. It's a really, really amazing presentation. Part of the reason I love living in Southern California is it's plant biodiversity. I love having green around me and everything. And that's 37 acres of that on steroids. And that's part of the great thing about my job is I get to walk away with this extra knowledge I would have never had, and I get to share it with people.
Yeah, and I love that. I feel like that could be a tagline, a garden on steroids. I love that. 5,000 different species in that botanic garden, over 29 themed gardens. It's also a great place to get those steps in. How were your steps for that day? It seems like it's a great place to get some exercise in.
For sure. And it's on sort of rolling hills, so you got a little of that too. Now, to be completely honest, their media person, a very wonderful woman by the name of Venice Henson, drove us around in a golf cart for a lot of it because my photographer had, all the gear and everything. So that would have been unfair to ask her to truck that around. But, I mean, there were moments when we were out of the cart and walking quite a bit. So, yeah, you can. I forgot I read it when I was preparing for the story. I think it's like 4-ish miles of trails that weave through the 37 acres. So steps for sure. And steps up to a certain level in one part of the garden where you have a commanding, breathtaking view of the Pacific.
John, 2 years ago, I took my mother to visit the Lightscape. And as we walked through, we saw beautiful seasonal lights along with an abundance of greenery. This is the 4th annual Lightscape. Anything new? Anything new, different that he mentioned? I don't remember seeing that V of lights.
The triangle thing.
Yeah. Maybe I missed that 2 years ago.
You would know better than I because this was my first time there. Ari Novi did mention to me that the designers take a fresh look at it every year. So, yes, I think it's fair to say that there's something new to be seen every year. It's interesting. I didn't have time to really get into it in the story, but Lightscape's genesis is from across the pond in Europe. And so they did it there, and then it made the jump to the Chicago Botanic Garden, which I did talk about. They got wind of it somehow, and Ari and a couple of other people flew back to Chicago, looked at it, and said, oh, my God, it's so freaking cold here, and, oh, this is beautiful. And so here it's been, as you say, for the 4th year now.
Gotcha. All right. John Carroll on his story under the headline San Diego Botanic Gardens, Lights Up the Night with Lightscape, anchor and reporter, here with us on Pod Behind the Package. John Carroll. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Lawrence K. Jackson.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I thank you for that. Have a great day. Thank you.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a team-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.